one named Wood. One named Wood.
Blitz is on. Rodgers winds up right back. He's got time to the 10 to the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends. Twice. Woo. Too much sport.
Throwing and it is a fingertip.
Put your hands together for Woo and Wild.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Woot and Wild Show. I think it's 37.
Yep.
How you going, Woot?
It's been a while. It's been a while. We had a
Christmas break. Some of us had a break.
Well, we all kind of had a Christmas break. I don't know how many of us worked through Christmas and Boxing Day. Were there many of?
No, I did not.
I don't know one.
But you've been working pretty much since New Year's Day.
Yep, back into it.
Back into it straight away, so we apologise for the lateness and not recapping the season properly.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that today. We're also going to recap the wildcard weekend. Wasn't the best quality wildcard weekend compared to last year.
Yeah, that's true.
But this year, you know, the divisional round looks every bit exciting.
It does. It's set up to be a cracker.
Some saucy... saucy matchups.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we get to that, I want to shout out to Zach for winning our Written Wire League, defeated you in the final.
Yeah, Odell single-handedly, I think, beat me there.
He's won a lot of fantasy leagues this year.
He won our league.
He won our main league as well. Look, if you get lucky and pick up a waiver wire, like someone like CJ Anderson or Odell Beckham, it can change your fantasy league.
Sure can.
So before we do that, let's get into some NFL news. All right, where do we start? Do you want to start with some coaching changes, some draft order stuff? Where are we going? What do you want to talk about first?
Let's start with coaches.
All right.
The
stuff from the top. We've got some firings. It's pretty old news, but we're just going to run through them right now. I've got my big list here.
All
right,
go on. Shoot. Here we go.
Chicago Bears fired Mark Trestman, Phil Emery, and offensive coordinator Aaron Kramer. Surprisingly, Mel Tucker, despite Justin's wishes from our Chicago Heavy episode, still has a job.
Yeah.
Last ranked defense.
However, it looks like they didn't heap the blame onto Jay Cutler, which was...
Yeah, I guess that's probably boosts his confidence for next year if he's still there, but
we'll see.
A lot of changes going on there. Yep. Falcons announced Mike Smith fired after 6 years.
That's no surprise.
There's going to be some shake-ups in there. There has been some shake-ups in their organisational structure with someone being brought in. I can't quite remember the name. So to sort of split the job with Dimitrov.
I can't remember a team that's gone exceptionally well after being on Hard Knocks. Is there a team that's gone?
That's why they're on Hard Knocks.
That's why they're on Hard Knocks, for sure. Yeah. They volunteered, by the way, Falcons. Pardon? Falcons volunteered.
That's true. I want the Browns next year.
That would be a circus.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. New York Jets. Yeah, so Rex Ryan and Jordan Idzik would not be returning in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rex Ryan is the cream of the crop of the free agent coaches.
Yes.
You would agree.
Yep.
So 49ers, they didn't fire, they mutually parted ways, and now he's a Michigan coach, and he was on the sideline in support of his brother John in Baltimore.
Stories coming out that Oakland offered him more money than what Michigan did, and he was going to be the highest paid head coach in the NFL, but still went back to Michigan, so...
Didn't want to cross the bay.
No.
I don't blame him.
No, that's fine.
The team, Jacksonville Jaguars, fired offensive coordinator Jed Fish. Washington Redskins, defensive coordinator Jim Haslett has also parted ways with the team. And New Orleans Saints wide receiver coach and tight end coach and defensive backs coach, all cut. Rob Ryan, safe.
Wow.
Shaping the blame. It's just like, Drew Brees, you threw good passes, but your wide receivers sucked.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. And New York Giants, Perry Farewell, he won't be the defensive coordinator next year. And Kyle Shanahan has left the Browns.
That's
surprising. I thought he did a pretty good job.
I was going to say, that's disappointing.
Yep. We've also got Doug Marrone opting out of his contract with The Bills.
I still think that Tom Coughlin.
Do you know what?
Has outstayed his.
You reckon? Odell Beckham Jr. just saved.
Like, he single-handedly has done so many things this year. Like, saved people, won fantasy
Ben McAdoo saved, Tom Coughlin saved, yeah. Eli Manning's career saved.
Who was he going to throw it to after Cruz was hurt, Randall?
Randall was underperforming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So many news, just pages and pages. Oh, yep, offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer left the Rams to take a position at the University of Georgia. So I look forward to Tavon Austin actually being good next year and Georgia being the most stale offense in college football.
Cool.
What else have we got? Just stacks. These pages. It's Black Monday was black. Tony Sperano is still up in the air whether he'll come back for...
What do you think about Miami keeping Joe Philbin in?
Oh, he's so boring. That's so annoying. But then they hired... can't quite remember now. His name has escaped me. But he is the manager of Dan Quinn,
mm-hmm.
who the Jets are trying to hire as their offensive coordinator. And Tenenbaum. And now he's at Miami
mm-hmm.
as a sort of like a general manager position. And now his client is... might be going to a rival franchise.
That's interesting.
It's very juicy. So of all those coaching positions, like, we'll look at the head coaches. You've got Atlanta, Buffalo, New York, Oakland, all sort of open there for a job, and the Niners. What?
Who goes to the Niners?
Well, Mike Shanahan is being reported to have...
You know what? I think that's actually a smart...
They reckon Mike Shuler is also...
I think Mike Shanahan is the kind of guy to, bring Kaepernick back down to earth, I think.
Yeah, Vic Fangio, their defensive coordinators.
See, and he deserves something. He deserves something, so...
Of all the coordinators that are available, you've got Dan Quinn, Adam Gase, Josh McDaniels, Bowles from Cardinals, and also... Austin, the defensive coordinator.
I do like Dan Quinn. I do like Dan Quinn.
To be a, of all those positions, someone to be a head coach, you're most confident in Quinn?
Or, we're just talking about 49ers.
Fangio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Adam Gase and McDaniels are risky because I think they're just benefiting off the excellence of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sold on them yet.
I can't imagine... McDaniels in a head.
Well, he stuffed up when he was at Denver.
Yeah.
Like, just made a debacle of that whole scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a track record of ex-Patriots coaches that when they leave New England, they just fail.
Yeah. I think we mentioned this at the start of the season.
Because of the system they have set up there and the way they operate, you can't replicate it anywhere else because there's just the way Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have that team going and Ernie Adams, the secret man behind the franchise for so long. So, of those positions, it's going to be definitely interesting. I think Todd Bowles deserves a job. I think you're right. Dan Quinn deserves a job. I think Rob Ryan is very, very lucky. Very lucky. All right.
However, well done to keep your job after, you know, your defense plays in that bad. how he did it, I don't know.
One little nugget I read the other day was... Doug Marone was interviewing at the Jets, and Rex Ryan was interviewing at the Bills.
Okay.
It's like an episode of Wife Swap.
I know. Just kind of what they did with Sanchez and
I'd love to see what Rex Ryan could do with that Bills defense, though. Especially with Kiko Alonso coming back. They unfortunately don't have a first-round pick, so Rex is sort of screwed in that department that he's stuck with EJ Manuel, because Kyle Orton suddenly retired for like the fourth time. It's like sort of John Farnham-esque from him.
He'll be back.
He'll be back, maybe.
Probably.
But he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, so I'm not really sure what sort of job you want. I think whoever ends up in Oakland, I think it's not as bad as a job as people think. I think Derek Carr's proven that he can be a franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. or at least has the ability to become one.
If you want to go somewhere, though, where do you want to go?
Out of all those teams, I think the most ideal would be the Falcons, because of the established quarterback in Matt Ryan. I think... 49ers have a really great team, but there's a lot of pressure on them to just be so good every year now. Like, it's tough to... Jim Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He just... The time was up there.
Was,
yeah. I think that's it. A lot of pressure to go into that.
Their defense is getting older.
Well, you've got... Yeah, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis coming off injuries. Chris Borland's a nice player, but I'm not sure. Kaepernick, for me, seems like a nightmare to coach.
Then, that's like I was saying, I think Mike Shanahan's the kind of guy to, you know...
You think because of what he did with
RG3?
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's also talks that he might not even be the coach. He might just be a management sort of player, and they might bring in someone for him to sort of report over.
I don't know what all these different positions...
There seem to be new GM roles just popping up because people can't handle the pressure.
Vice, executive, chairman, senior of player, sales. Personnel. Sales.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on from coaches. I think we'll address that after the season's finished in more detail.
Yep.
I've also got some stuff lined up to do with free agency previews in terms of salary cap.
Because let's be honest, it doesn't really mean anything right now. No. Price is still going...
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. And I've got some intel from a Shane, I can't quite remember his surname. He sent me a big Excel spreadsheet that he's worked on throughout the year of salary cap breakdown and players that are overpaid and not performing that will most likely be cut. Things like that's quite good.
I like this.
So this will be our off-season stuff. We've got a good off-season coming up. We're about to get really juicy.
Nice.
Really juicy. All right, the 2015 NFL draft order has, or at least the top 24 picks, been lined up. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secured the first pick after a massive choke in the last week. But maybe they just...
You gotta be kidding me! I mean, how do you watch this? I mean, yeah, they stink.
They stink.
They do.
They absolutely stink. Do you think Mariota is the man to save them?
I reckon they trade.
You're really going to trade down.
Yeah. I don't know. I think someone trades up.
Ooh. There we go. A bit of intel from Woot.
There you go.
Yeah. I think it might not be Mariota.
Yeah.
I think Jameis Winston might be the guy they want. He is a Florida man. That's where Tampa Bay are. He's more in a pro-ready offense.
Mm-hmm.
The scouts saying that. Mariota, I haven't been sold on him, but watched him in the last few weeks. He's cool as a cucumber. So I think, and he's shown he's intelligent and he's a very good, there's no character concerns there.
No.
I think he might be able to pick up a pro-style offense.
He's just, I don't know, you so like so well-mannered. He's just...
He's a good kid.
I had a good game. That's like typical interview.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the wild card weekend. What was your takeaways from that game, from those games?
Not too many major, you know, upsets, I don't think. It seemed pretty standard.
You don't think Baltimore was an upset?
Against
Pittsburgh?
Mm.
Without Le'Veon Bell, I think it sort of changed.
When he was definitely ruled out, I think everyone was, you know, this could be much more difficult for Steelers. I wasn't too surprised with that, especially, you know, we know Flacco in the playoffs. But
January Joe.
January Joe, yeah, I like that nickname. Yeah. That's good. I wasn't that surprised with that. It's good to see Cam Newton and Panthers firing.
Yeah.
It's good. I just like seeing Cam Newton happy, really. I'm a big Cam Newton fan. It's exciting.
I'm just glad we don't ever have to see Ryan Lindley play a playoff game ever again. It was disgusting. He's the worst player
I've ever seen in a playoff. Sorry, let's just... Do you know how many players throughout the year you say, this guy is the worst player, this guy is so bad, and then, you know, it'll come back to bite you.
It plateaued into... We've had a lot of the worst from me this year, but I think Ryan Lindley is the cherry on top on that one. He was awful.
Wow.
It was the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
He was disgusting. Like, it was horrible. But, I mean, you couldn't expect them to go in there and just put 40 points on them.
I really feel for Bruce Arians because he fought so hard for that team. Like, he has to be Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
He has to be.
He has to. And then it's like, but look what happened to his season. It's like, ugh. So
can you lose that many quarterbacks in the year and still... you know, at least put up a decent fight. Like, they led at halftime.
I know, which is just incredible.
With Brian Lindley.
Yep.
Did you think Detroit were hard done by?
They were hard done by. Awesome from Dallas, though, to like get back into it.
From an Eagles fan, too.
So I'm not saying that, you know, I still think Dallas deserved to go through, even though Detroit ripped. Because, you know, you blow the chances that Detroit had going. I actually can't even remember exactly what happened.
I said on ABC Grandstand on Tuesday, they scored 3 points in the second half.
Exactly. And, I mean, it was just like, just bad play calls. That's what cost them.
They punted on fourth and something, and it went 10 yards.
Exactly. And then they, and then the fumbles and,
two fumbles in the one drive. You think after, and that second fumble, Matt Stafford did not, he planted his feet and did not move an inch. And you can't just be stale like that in the pocket.
Do you really, you know, you don't deserve to go through.
Yeah. It was a shame because I've been ripping on Matt Stafford all year. I think he's average at best, but I'm a bit harsh on Matt Stafford. He played really good the first, you know, two quarters, probably half of third quarter. He outplayed Tony Romo, but the defense of Dallas, or the pass rush from Dallas, isn't as good as Detroit. So Romo was, credit to Romo, he got sacked six times, and he still managed. Despite the obvious hold on the touchdown,
that was insane.
But it's good for, I think it's good for football to have the Dallas Cowboys winning. I don't think you'll agree.
I don't know.
And then the Chris Christie, the governor of New York or Marriott, somewhere over that way, he is in the box with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, celebrating on national television, hugging Jerry Jones. They call him a talisman at the moment. Since he's been there, they've been winning games. Wow. But if you're politics, if you're running for office where your major fan bases are the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles, are you going to be hanging out with Jerry Jones?
You're not going to get too far with that kind of campaign.
He's an idiot.
Whoever's in charge of his campaign, you know, needs to.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Pull the head in.
It is. It's a bold strategy. The Colts, Andrew Luck.
Can I just say, I really hope Dallas make it all the way to the NFC title game and then lose.
Okay.
Because, you know.
You're a glutton for punishment. You want to give them fans false hope, do you?
No, that, and I also want them to get a worse draft pick.
Okay, that makes sense. By the way, where's all those people that were calling the Cowboys to draft Johnny Manziel? Where are they? That was, I said at the time, you've got Romo, one of the best in the league. Zach Martin is a great pick. Great pick. And he's played like an All-Pro. And he's probably going to be an All-Pro guard for the next decade.
Remember when we were talking at the start of the season, we were like, oh, Garrett might be out of a job. And now,
got to give him credit. And he called for a gutsy call on fourth down too. So, look, I don't really like, I don't know, it's nothing personal. I don't hate him. He just, something about him, when I look at him, I'm like, I don't know, I don't know, you've done a crime or something, I don't know. Purely allegatory, nothing saying that he definitely has done a crime. So now we've got four games this weekend, the divisional weekend. Let's preview them before we hit up the weird web story and get onto the our All-Pro teams.
Which is a bloody weird web story.
The weird web story is a great one.
It's the web story of the year, and it's January.
It's our first web story, but it's the web story of 2015.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got, let's start with Baltimore at New England. Thoughts on that one? Oh, by the way, you smashed me by like 5 points in our picks.
A surprise.
So, yeah, you killed me. So, I think...
Is this a new year?
This is a new year. So
we're just going to do the playoff one?
Just going to do playoffs. So I'm going to do score as well.
Oh, God.
I need something. I need some help. All right, so at least... So
yeah, well, I also need help, so I'm going.
So we're gonna do it. We're gonna do 2 points for each game. So the winner. So
two points.
Yeah. So if you tip Baltimore and they win, and I tip Baltimore and they win, we both get a point.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever has the closest score gets a point. But if you tip New England and I tip Baltimore, and New England win, you get a point. But if I still have the closest score,
it's one all.
Yeah.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's start with Baltimore.
Oh, and so New England. Are we gonna analyze them, or we're just gonna?
Pardon?
Are we gonna like go into any depth preview, or
yeah, just guess? Yeah, we're gonna talk about the games right now.
Cool. right now.
Yep.
Okay, well, filibuster.
What?
Do you know?
You're reading your phone. I'm just filibustering time.
Oh, this is our...
This is Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We've got a new app at the moment that we're trialing for this podcast.
Yeah, we want to hear your feedback.
Some new drops.
That drop can
we want to thank.
That was pretty...
Oh, come on.
All right. I'll give you that.
We've got a shout out to Tristan. You can follow him on Twitter at @reject_CKY for sending us some drops and just helping us out tech-wise because we're not very tech-savvy.
Are you kidding? We're so good at this.
Are we?
No.
All right. Baltimore at New England. I actually think I'm not going to tip Baltimore, but I think of all the teams that New England wanted to face this weekend, I think Baltimore was the last team they wanted to face. They match up really well with them. Their defensive line is one of the best in the league. Terrell Suggs is playing like the Hall of Famer that he will be. And so is Haloti Ngata back. He can really makes a big difference in the run game. My concern is their secondary is very weak, but the problem is Tom Brady is one of the worst, I think he's the third worst quarterback in throws 20-plus yards down the field in the NFL, of all quarterbacks, not just playoff quarterbacks. So I think they might be right. If they can stop the run and force some deep throws, they might have a chance.
Saying that, everyone's kind of known this, so it's like...
Yeah, they'll game plan accordingly. Look, some of the stats on Tom Brady is that he's faced pressure better than he has this year. I think that's a product of his short throws using Shane Vereen and Julian Edelman a lot. Edelman's back now after having a month off.
Is
one of the most underrated players in the league. Yeah. There was talks early on in the year when they got hammered by Kansas City that Tom didn't have weapons. But Edelman, there's only like two or three players that have more yards than Edelman in the last 3 years. I don't know. I think Baltimore, if they can get in Tom Brady's face and they use stunt plays, and his offensive line has been struggling lately through the middle, I don't know. I think they have a real shot. But the problem is that New England defense is better than any defense I've had since probably they last won the Super Bowl.
It's
over a decade
they
ago.
They do look good going in, and then but it just it kind of I don't know. This whole January Joe thing is starting to.
Starting to excite me.
All right, if... Here we go. If Patriots lose, I might jump on the Ravens bandwagon.
Wow, that's cool. I see that. I don't dislike the Ravens as a team. I like their team.
Yeah, boring Joe. We'll see if you can...
Boring Joe. But...
then again, I like the Packers. Packers look good.
You like the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is the man. On the Ravens, is again, like and the Patriots, everyone talks about Darrell Revis, but those linebackers, Hightower and Jamie Collins, are two of the best in the league, have been playing really well.
We were talking about this before we started recording. Hightower and Jamie Collins, they were two of the best pickups any draft recently. They're just
They're killing it. And they're going to get pressure at Chandler Jones, and they mix him around a bit. And Akeem Ayers, who they picked up from the Titans, is playing well as well.
Yep.
But the problem is that offensive line of the Ravens, Marshall Yanda, Kalichi Osemele have been playing really good. Osemele put a monster block on that touchdown
pass.
And
if it wasn't for that, who knows, we could be looking at a different team.
Pittsburgh, at Denver and Colts at Patriots. So that line play makes a massive difference, and I think that's where Baltimore...
Saying that, I'm glad these are the matchups.
Same. I love these matchups.
It's perfect.
Love these matchups.
I really hope Carolina beats Seattle. I can't see it happening in any way, but I just want that to happen. I just want to see Cam Newton go up to Sherman or something. That would be amazing.
You've turned on Sherman, haven't you?
I've never really been a big fan of him.
Oh, there just we go.
He's you know, top three at his position. It rotates every year.
Yeah, it does.
But, the trash talk was just...
too much?
It's too much for me.
It is too much for you. All right, so who are you picking in the game?
I'll still pick New England.
All right. What's the score?
Who are you picking?
I'm also picking New England.
I'll say Ravens score 20... 30.
30 to 20.
Something like that.
We need an exact score here.
All right, we'll go...
Don't make me hit the filibuster and drop one more time. I'll go New England 28, Baltimore 24.
Yeah, that's a good score, man. That's a good score. I'll say 21.
Yep.
Baltimore 21, New England 30.
Okay. All right. So right, we'll move on to the second game that day, and that's Seattle hosting Carolina Panthers.
Oh, gosh.
Like
I just said.
The Panthers, look, Cam Newton did not have his best game, and he said that when he got off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, he's a very streaky quarterback where he can put in completely opposite performances week in, week out. I think it comes down to the quarterbacks. I hate saying this in a game where defense and running game and offensive line and coaching make a huge difference. But I think they not cancel each other out, but Carolina's defense is actually playing decent the last few weeks. And they've got a really good run game going in Jonathan Stewart for the first time in like 4 or 5 years.
At the start of the season, I would have said, you know, come the next draft, Stewart, Williams,
Talbot.
That's the other one I was trying to. Tolman? Nope.
Talbot has a role as a fullback. I think he'll hang around.
He'll hang around, but then, you know, if you were to ask me at the start of the season, I said they'll be definitely drafting someone next year.
I think D'Angelo Williams is gone.
He's gone.
I think they'll keep Stewart,
mm-hmm.
but with his injury history, I think they'll still need to draft someone.
He's made of glass. Oh, actually, the whole backfield for Carolina is always, you know.
It's crazy that you think of the depth they have at that position, yet they still had to start like Fozzie Whitaker and stuff like that.
And Fozzie Whitaker wasn't even, you know, he wasn't too bad.
By the way, that first week of the wildcard playoffs, we had touchdowns from Fozzie Whitaker, Darren Fells, not Daniel Fells.
Darren Fells.
Yeah, you had there was three other just bizarre names. It was unbelievable, the people that scored touchdowns. And you had people like Burkhead making plays for Cincinnati. I love the playoffs.
It's definitely the best time.
Yeah, it is.
Besides, I think, day one. I still like day one. It's just
first day of the season. I love first day of free agency.
Yeah,
and the draft. They were really...
Actually, first day of free agency, I always know that I'm up at some ridiculous hour in the morning.
Did you set Adam Schefter on alert?
Oh, he's on Twitter? I think I've only got two alerts and
Adam Schefter. And I wake up at like 4 a.m. with a Schefter and it's like such and such a sign. I was like, oh, okay. And then just turn over and go back to bed.
I was like, it was like this year. I was like, who's going to sign Jarius Bird? Who's going to sign TJ Ward? Who's going to sign all that?
It was the safety battle.
It was the safety year.
Speaking of safeties, see what I did there? Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor really need to stick on Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin.
I think Earl Thomas is playing the best he's ever played. Like,
that right play now. He made, was it week 17 or against the Rams, and they were about to go for a touchdown, and he just swatted the ball out at the goal line? That was incredible.
Everyone knows how good he is, but I still think he's overshadowed by Sherman and things like that. It's just...
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much to take away from this Carolina game, except they're not the 7-8 team that we expect. Like, they had a slump in the middle of the year, but they had problems at quarterback. You had different players playing different positions. You had injuries. I think now they've got a solid run game. The defense is playing well. The front seven's not as good as it was last year, but just close enough. But you have Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis playing, like, apart from Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins, probably the best linebacking core in the league, making plays. And I think if they can shut down Lynch, you know, you got to force Wilson to throw it more than he has to.
Newton's going to have
a blinder.
He's going to have an
absolute blinder. I'm going to take Seattle. I think it'll be close for a while, but I think slowly but surely they'll sort of make an impact in the third quarter. I'm going to go with them 34, and I'm going to go Carolina 17.
I will pick Seattle, and I'll say 26-14.
26-14.
There you go.
All right. Moving on to, it'll be Monday here in Australia. We start with the Green Bay Packers hosting the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, how healthy is Aaron Rodgers?
His calf, I'm not sure. He spoke about it this week, but all I got from his audio or his reports this week is that he plays with the Socceroos on FIFA.
That could, you know, any other week that could have been a weird web story.
But could have been.
This is a doozy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Teaser alert.
You are absolutely teasing. Look, I think Rogers, the week off, has done him a world of good. I think he said that his calf is still troubling him, but if he had to play last week, he would have been in some doubt. So I think he'll be fine. But look, we are, especially in the cold weather, it's freezing up there. We're one injury away from Matt Flynn playing in the playoffs again.
That'd be pretty cool.
And I did not want to see that. And we're also, you know, Tony Romo's back. We could have Matt Flynn versus Brandon Whedon in the playoffs.
That would be a good thing to see.
What I like about this game is that you've got Rogers and Romo, probably the two best quarterbacks all year.
Mm-hmm.
Dez Bryant and Jordy Nelson, probably the two of the best wide receivers this year.
Mm.
And we've got two powerful, hard-style running backs in Eddie Lacy and DeMarco Murray.
Yep, and both offensive lines have played well.
Played very well. And Dallas is probably the best offensive line in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll need to step up and protect Romo from Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews for them to have a chance. This game would not surprise me either way who wins. But it's tough to bet against Aaron Rodgers at home. Look, the Packers are 8-0 at home.
Yep.
But the Cowboys are 8-0 this season away. Oh,
someone's record is over.
Something's got to give. An immovable object against an immovable force.
Ooh.
It's crazy.
I still don't. I don't know. I think the cheese is immovable. You reckon? I don't think. I can't see them losing. I just can't see them losing. I see plenty of Lambeau leaps.
Yeah, I can't bet against the best quarterback at home and the best quarterback in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers. I just can't. Not at home. And I think if he absolutely goes down, the Cowboys will win. But if he plays the full game, give me Aaron Rodgers at home.
Is there any chance that Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this game?
Nah, he's playing.
Yeah.
He's a tough. He came back in. Do you hear what he said to Matt Flynn when he walked in against the Lions after missing out?
What?
So he went off at 14-0. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Flynn lost them.
Yeah,
so it was 14-0. He just tapped him on the shoulder and says, "Don't worry, I got this." Just walks on. Just plays on the one leg, wins. Yeah. It's crazy. And I'm sort of glad it is the Cowboys because we saw what Green Bay did against Detroit sort of last week earlier.
Mm.
So this is a different game.
Yeah.
It's a more exciting game.
And even though Detroit's defense has been, you know, generally pretty good throughout the year, I don't think that Green Bay are any pushovers on defense either.
Nah. And we saw what Matt Stafford did in the first half against Dallas's defense, but just could not go on with it. And that's been Detroit's problem, is that they get these leads and they just can't put the killer punch in or the nail in the coffin. But Aaron Rodgers has no trouble doing that. If
Aaron Rodgers was in that same position, it could have been monstrous.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what's your score?
Green Bay to win, and yep. I'll have it 10 points. I'll have 34-24.
I like that score. That's a good one. I have Green Bay 38, Dallas 27.
Ooh, all right, cool.
All right. Oops.
Do you think Cowboys will be playing from behind for most of it?
I actually think they'll score first.
Whoa! Cheeky money.
Bit of a, you know?
Yep.
Why not? All right. My mighty Indianapolis Colts, led by the forever greatest young quarterback in the league, Andrew Luck.
All right, we'll go with that. Yep.
Against the greatest quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning. Sorry, my love affair of this game is, I'm in a win-win situation here. I love my Colts, but I love Peyton Manning. And I think, you know, if he can win, he's a chance next week. This Broncos team is, it's kind of odd. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they just go one and done. But then it wouldn't surprise me if they win the whole Super Bowl. Because the way the defense is playing, the run game is going, and there's been questions about Manning for the last month about his health. But he was sick. He had to go. He went on an IV drip halfway through a game. He's had a thigh injury as well. So I think, like, if he comes out and he's healthy, he could throw, like, 5 touchdowns on this Colts defense, and everyone's like, oh, okay, he's fine. But he could also come out and throw 4 interceptions and just throw duck eggs.
Mm.
So this Broncos team is such an odd team.
I think this is definitely the game where it could go either way the most, I think.
Yeah.
The Baltimore-New England game, I mean, that is, you know, you could, it's the same thing. Yeah. You could see New England just coming out and breezing, yeah. and you can see it being a really close game and Flacco coming out on top.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same with this.
I think, you know, we've seen Baltimore win in New England multiple times, and Billy Cundiff missed a field goal, and it would have been, they would have had a perfect 100% record in playoffs in Foxborough
yep.
against Tom Brady, which is crazy. And he's thrown one touchdown to four interceptions the last two playoff games against Baltimore. They have troubled him. So, I'm nervous picking New England.
Did you know that the Vegas odds makers, or whatever you want to call them, 50% of bettors have placed money on Baltimore to win?
Yeah. Probably because I got a better price.
No, this is just
okay.
at the line.
Wow, there you go.
So there you go.
Not bad. Back to this game. We keep deviating so much. The Colts, apart from Andrew Luck, don't have much else. And Vontae Davis. I'm going to put that nicely as I can.
What about Heron?
Boom Heron. He's an okay running back. Anything's better than Richardson.
I was about to say.
He's on punt coverage. What a fall from grace.
Wow.
He is gone. He's out of the league next year, or at least out of a Colts uniform.
Yeah?
Thank God.
All yeah. for a first round pick.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Could you have had?
Joel Bitonio.
Ooh, he turned out all right.
Yeah, I know. Although Jack Muhort's been decent.
Yeah.
So we protected really, really well against Cincinnati. But the problem is, they don't have Von Miller or DeMarcus Ware. They have Carlos Dunlap. He's average.
He's pretty much the same as Von Miller, right?
And then you add in DeMarcus Ware. So I think they're going to get pressure on Luck, and it's going to be troubling. Reggie Wayne isn't the Reggie Wayne that we've known for, well, I've known for 10 years now. It's sad to see him go. Moncrief is good, but I think he still needs a year or two to be the elite receiver we expect. I think T.Y. Hilton is the go-to guy, and I think Chris Harris will be mirroring him the whole game.
Chris Harris, that is some assignment.
It is. But I think he will be... Personal file. He's giving him the business. He'll be giving him the business.
Yeah?
He'll be giving him the business all day. And I'm going to take Denver in this game.
Also...
You're taking Denver?
I will also take Denver.
Wow, I thought you had this smirk on your face. I thought you were going to tip my Colts.
Nah, sorry, buddy.
It's all right. I was hoping you would. That's okay. I'm going to take Denver. This is going to be a high-scoring, high-flying affair.
Mm-mm.
45.
Wow.
Three touchdowns to CJ Anderson, by the way. Even one to Monte Ball. 45-2. 38.
Okay, I got a much lower than that.
Okay, wow.
I got the same score as the previous game.
34-24.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I just think Colts will get behind early and Luck will have to throw it. And I think there might be maybe a pick six involved and everyone's going to rip on Andrew Luck. Oh, he's thrown another pick in. So oh, Skip Bayless is going to go off. Yeah.
Joking.
You know, oh, it's so annoying. And by the way, I said this to you earlier. That was Andrew Luck from. Did you see him trying to do the fake on fourth down, try to trick Cincinnati?
When the
on fourth down, he was just trying to do the fake hut to try and push him offside. Yeah. And then that's him going, "Oh, stop it." He's funny, but this is the third game in Peyton Manning's history that he's DVOA on the running game and defense is better than his opponent. So every time he's played, he's carried a terrible team. So this time he has a team that is actually helping him.
If there is this upset,
it's going to be bad.
It's
the Peyton hate. I would not listen to Dave Demeshek all week or for a month. I would not watch First Take, but I don't watch them anyway because
you got to be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch them? I mean, yeah.
Because you disagree with their opinion.
I don't like Dave Demeshek at all. I think he's funny. I like Football Baby. That's cool. But, yeah, no. Not for me. All right, so we've previewed those games. All right, let's...
We all have the same.
Yeah, we've picked the same. So the score is going to determine who comes up trumps this year in our betting.
So we can't win by any more than four this...
Yeah. Could be 2-2. Yeah. That's what I'll put my money on. All right, we've been waiting for this.
Here we go.
This juicy, weird web story.
You gotta get out of here. This is crazy. You're so weird. You're really weird.
You're so weird.
All right, Josh.
You want me to lead the way?
I want you to lead the way.
All right.
I know how excited you are about this. You are really excited.
Should we just start from
It's showtime.
Should we just start from the top here?
Yeah.
All right. This is an article by CBS Sports.
Yep.
And they came out after they found a little discovery.
Yeah.
We'll call it a discovery.
It was discovered by multiple news sources, but I found I think this article is just the right length.
It sums up the best?
I think it's a good length.
All right. They say it's been a slow year for people who have been looking for NFL-related erotica novels.
No.
But the drought is finally over.
Finally.
Thanks to author Lacey Noonan, who, in the article, funny, it says, not pictured above, as there is no picture.
Okay.
That made me laugh. Thanks to Noonan, anyone with an internet connection can now buy the book. The title of this book is A Gronking to Remember, which is a play on the New England tight end, Rob Gronkowski, and an erotica novel based...
Yes.
You know?
I think it might be A Walk to Remember. It might be the title that they're going with. I'm not sure.
So we're going with A Gronking to Remember.
Yep.
When you look at the cover, forget the fact that the stadium in the photo is in Colorado and not Foxborough. That's a meaningless point. The only thing that has meaning in Gronk erotica novels is love for Gronk.
Love for Gronk.
Love for Gronk. If you're wondering why Noonan decided to write an erotica about Gronk, you can head to slate.com and read her explanation there if you want to read any more. But the fact that someone's gone out of their way and has written an erotica novel, I mean, there's a lot of weird, you know, text out there, a lot of fan fiction about different things, but this is taking the cake. To write an erotica novel about a huge tight end. By the way, I just said a huge tight end, and that just came out.
Exactly why I hit that button.
I was like, wow, okay.
There's some breaking news on this story. Amazon has pulled the book. It's no longer for sale.
Oh.
I think maybe Gronkowski might have, I don't know what's going on. Who knows? But it's been pulled. But the best part about this story is Amazon reviews. And I pulled some 1-star ratings, some 5-star ratings, and even a 3-star rating. All right, so this is a 5-star rating, and his thing says, I craved more gronking. He says, when you're a connoisseur of Patriots tight end-themed erotica like I am, it's been a long, dry period these past few years. Of course, the pinnacle of the genre's 2011's A Tale of Two Tight Ends is unlikely to have a sequel written, unless it's a prison-based idea. How about that? So I've had to muck about with subpar offerings from fans of other teams, Doinking Connor Barth, a teddy for Bridgewater, even the highly acclaimed Giving Aaron Rodgers Cheese Head. None of these measure up when you're a diehard Patriots jacko like I am. That's why A Gronking to Remember is so refreshing. It's a 9 route into my heart and loins. It's as if Miss Noonan gazed into my wanting soul and delivered exactly the sort of sweaty gronk-pounded jizz fest that all Pats fans can be proud of and indeed embrace. Holy crap, I just said jizz fest on our podcast.
That's the first time that's ever been said.
Yep.
And the last time it will ever be mentioned.
Charles
Stop it.
The plotting is, you'll never believe how and how often Gronk gets all up in that badonka donk. And when Gronk spikes the football, nope, not saying that. The characterization is also fantastic. Just like a regular season game in London, the journey is long and hard, but this book will probably have more fans and is more fulfilling. So whether you're a New England housewife looking to spice things up,
and I look around and I think we got a spicy team.
Another closeted Pats fan looking for some good spank material, no judging, or Roger Goodell lying sleepless in a lonely New York hotel room again, this book has all the satisfying gronking you'd ever want and need. Highly recommended. Alright,
Well,
this is another...
Sorry, that last review just... Wow.
That was the labeled the most helpful on Amazon.
Wow, it made me sweaty.
Definitely.
Just a review.
Yeah. Whew. All right, this is the Iliad of our times. Another 5-star rating. The Western canon is scattered with watershed works by literature penned by American authors. Add a Gronking to Remember to that list. With this book, nay, this work of art, Lacey Noonan has truly catapulted herself, however knowingly, into the pantheons of great American authors, such as Mark Twain. Greatest female American authors like Toni Morrison and greatest humans ever, Jesus/Julius Caesar, etc., to have ever set foot on this great earth we call home. Lacey Noonan has the uncanny ability to elevate simple words and images to unforeseen heights through basic literary device. Consider this excerpt, which felt truly like Lacey was confronting Shakespeare head-on, staring him down, shaking her flabby arm and saying, "Hey, Billy, look what I can do. On the TV, I watched a large man..." Oh. All right, here we go. Prepare yourselves. "On the TV, I watched the large man spaz out with joy. He was surrounded by his teammates, mere munchkins by comparison. They surround him like supplicants around a holy mountain, but he scattered them away." Okay, that was the excerpt. And he says, this commenter says, "Never again, dare I say, will I see such brazen and undeniably successful magic make its way onto an e-book page." Just beautiful.
How much was this?
I think it was like $4.95.
$4.95.
We should have bought it.
We should have.
We should have read it. We should have maybe had a passage a week. If we can do it, we'll get it.
If we're allowed to do that?
Why not? Why not? All right, this is a 5 stars, and he labelled it a bit confused. He says, "I bought this book thinking it was about Rob Gronkowski's early years and his development as an athlete. I'm sure the Stadium of Colorado on the front fooled him.
Yeah.
I soon realised it was a different kind of story, but after a few pages I was hooked and now won't consider reading anything again about a pro athlete unless it includes a fair portion of boning."
Well, fair enough.
So that sounds like a guy. So
that does sound like
stay
a
golden,
guy.
Pony boy.
Stay golden, buddy. All right, this one was 3 stars. Very short and to the point. "My penis and brain were playing chess throughout this entire book."
Who won?
If you could see what's going on, Josh is just shaking his head. He is not going. Yeah, not good. All right, and this one was a 1 star. He ordered the wrong book, so he's not happy. He said, "I had a brain fart when I ordered this. For some reason, I hadn't had my morning cup of Joe. I thought this was Aaron Hernandez erotica. I definitely did not want Rob Gronkowski erotica." Poor bloke. I feel for him.
I think
the Aaron Hernandez erotica would be a lot juicier.
It'd
a lot juicier.
It was a crime novel. Crime. Anyway, moving on.
All right, let's just our last real MVP. Well, not our last, our first of 2015. I'm going to channel our weird web story, and I'm going to name Lacey Noonan the real MVP of the week for a Gronking to Remember.
You going with that?
It is quite possibly the best story I've read this year. It's fantastic.
Is that good? It made you...
I'm shedding a tear. I'm shedding a tear right now. I'm boiling up. It is some of the funniest... All those Amazon comments are some of the funniest things I've ever read in my life.
It's become the age where, you know, I'll watch something or read something and I may watch half of it or skim through the article and be straight into the comments and be like, these people are hilarious. The internet just supplies.
I love the internet.
The internet is my favourite place.
It is.
Wish
I could live there.
My real MVP, I wanted to say Marcus Mariota of how he played. I wanted to say that, but you know what? Ready? Drum roll.
I don't have a drum roll thing on here.
All right, I still got it.
You got it.
Yeah, this is drums.
Yep.
Tony Romo.
Wow. I'm shocked.
Tony Romo is my real MVP. And not just...
Are you kidding me? Oh, are you kidding me?
Come on, you gotta be kidding me.
Are you kidding?
No.
All right.
Not just for this, like, the last week, all right, was good. Yep. Came through. Led the comeback successfully, number of holding calls, etc. We'll leave that out of it.
Put that aside.
All the pressure that was on Dallas Cowboys and stuff, he handled with grace. The whole thing about Johnny Manziel, exactly when it came to their pick, just brush it off.
Back spasms.
He's the man.
And he's the most unfairly scrutinized player in the NFL, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he's done really well, and I'm happy for. I've been a Romo fan for years, so.
Statistically speaking, I've never hated on him. You look at him, you're like, wow.
It's just fun, the narrative of interceptions in late games, and when you look at them all up, it's not that bad. It's just overblown.
It's just, but you know, there's just been sometimes you're like, come on,
it's
man.
Like, it's some of the story. It's up there with Manning's sort of play in playoffs when you actually look at the stats deeper and deeper. It's not that bad, and it's one of those stories. I think he's, and I think that's a good MVP.
Like Tebow. Tebow. No, I'm kidding.
No. God. All right, we are going to talk about our. We're going to name our All-Pro team because we're late and we've, you know, missed up the...
missed everything, man.
Yeah, the break came at the wrong time. We didn't get to...
The break came at the same time as it does every year, but it's just...
we didn't organise. Like, I went away and then you had work, so we didn't get to wrap up the season.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to properly...
Coming up also in a few weeks' time, it's going to be a bit weird as well as I'm... Off.
You're off. I'm going to have to work out a guest host. How long are you out?
I will be out for, well, we'll say one. We'll,
at least
it,
one?
It may be, I'll miss one.
You're going to miss the Super Bowl.
But I'll be back after the Super Bowl. We'll say, oh, hang
I might
on.
Have to get someone in to talk Super Bowl with me.
You'll have to talk, maybe, what do you reckon, call Scott?
Might have to get Scotty on board.
There you go.
I want him in the studio.
A live shout out, Scott.
Yeah. A live casting call.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Scott, we want you on.
Oh, maybe. Could it be Shembri time?
No, Shembri's got his whole... We got a whole Shembri. I'm excited this off-season. I know it's playoffs and we should be excited about actually the play, but I'm excited where the show is going in the off-season.
I think we should do a tour and go to all these people and go to their houses.
And just crash in and record. They can get a behind-the-scenes look.
Yeah, maybe. Which is not that much.
Yeah.
It's really not that much.
Well, while we're on this topic, and we've got some, like, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll have a new intro, looking at new logo. We're just trialing the new app right now.
We haven't even mentioned it. This is our year. It's been a year.
It's been a year, and that's where I was going.
Sorry.
And we're going to have... That's okay. This is our one-year anniversary. Stole your thunder.
High five.
Happy birthday to us. 1 year. We started... Look, it's kind of ironic. We've... recorded in different locations.
I wanted to say we started at the bottom, now we're here, but we started at the bottom, we're still near the bottom.
We are still near the bottom.
Like one run out of 50.
That's why we're up in the ante. We're going to get some new guests on the show. We're going to get some, we're going to have a new intro soon. We're trying to link the new app, which is, I think, working fine. We'll wait and see how this translates when we upload it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this hasn't been recording the whole time.
I'm really worried that
this hasn't been any drops.
This has not been recorded at all. But we're going to have a new intro. We're actually being featured on a website.
Yeah.
Over the Line Sports. Christian from Over the Line Sports spoke to me during the week. Rang you up. We discussed it. And we're going to be on their website. So every episode will be uploaded on Over the Line Sports. And look, they have got a lot of content. I was on their website this week looking at it all. They have everything, especially for Australian fans.
You got lost. There was that much content.
No, honestly, I cannot, like... There was women's cricket, like everything, like a lot of women's sport as well, which is great for our women listeners. And NRL, AFL, cricket, like there's just stacks of content, NBA, NHL. So I think, look, they have their own podcast as well, but I think they do a lot of sports in one, which is what we tried to do, but you found you're rushing through.
And you found that your passions lied elsewhere.
Yeah. So we're purely NFL, and I think we're going to cover their NFL content for them in the audio sense. So you can find us on their website in the next coming weeks. So every episode will be uploaded to them with a little blurb about each episode. And we're going to put announcements on there for our competition. So next year we're going to have a tipping competition. We might try a sort of a fantasy style thing. I'm talking to a guy... he runs like a clubhouse. It's like a separate fantasy thing. You've got to pick a new lineup every week.
Oof, like
it's that top score. We might even have some betting competitions. I know the guys at topbetter.com also were keen for us. We just did not have the time last year to organise it such late notice.
And so, with the off-season, it'll give us a bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. So things are going good, and we're going to up the ante. So, mm-hmm. But we're going to come back, and we're going to name our... All pro teams. All right. All-Pro team. Do you want to rattle them off position by position, or do you want to go first and I'll go second?
No, we'll go position by position. I think that's better.
Yeah,
I think
we might have similar players.
I think we should shoot through it. Yeah. And then we'll, if we have the same position, we'll say that's definite. We'll, like, you know.
Lock it in, Eddie.
Lock it in.
We'll debate anything
lock
else.
Lock it in, Eddie. This is the Wootenweyer hot seat.
Yes. No burgering incident in that one.
Oh, my God. I was just about to mention that. Anyway, continue. That's me.
Quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Welcome to the Wootenweyer All-Pro team, Aaron Rodgers.
That's now his highest accolade. We'll put that on the... We'll add that update all their Wikipedia pages
according. Yeah. Great. Running back, I had Le'Veon Bell.
Whew, that's nice, but I had DeMarco.
We're going to have to work that out. How about we just put them both on the All-Pro team?
Oh!
1-2 punch. I just think Bell had a not as good offensive line, so he did more with less.
Fair enough.
Yep. All right, fullback... Anthony Sherman.
He's made the Wootenweyer team.
Well done, Sherman. You are proud.
And this is Richard Sherman. We're putting him in the
fullback position. All right, wide receivers. I had Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, and my slot receiver.
I think we all have this. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, no. My bad.
What did you have?
I had Brown, Nelson, and Odell Beckham.
That's cool. Let's lock in. All right. Sanders had a really good season, but I think Odell Beckham...
You know what? There are generally 4 wide receivers on the team, so we could...
Welcome to the team, all of them! So we got OBJ, AB...
It's going to be interesting when it comes to Nelson. The offensive line. If we have someone different, we'll be like, welcome to the team! There's an offensive line of 10.
Yeah. And I think Emmanuel Sanders played really well in the slot. I know Randall Cobb does, but I think... Sanders made the leap this
and
year.
They said, well, he has some big shoes to fill when Eric Decker left, and he just came in and
which,
surpassed
by the way, Eric Decker had a really good game in week 17.
He had a generally good season. It's just
the quarterback was playing.
Who's throwing you the ball? Anyway.
And by the way, Geno Smith had a perfect passer rating.
Oh my God. I know. Now what do you do with the quarterback there? It's like, whoa. I don't know.
I have no idea. Look, it's going to be a tough call for whoever comes in at the Jets. All right, tight end, the Gronking to remember. Yeah?
Yeah, there's no other person.
Yep.
By the way, Jimmy Graham had quite a disappointing season.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Same with Julius Thomas.
Yep.
He had a couple of multiple touchdown games, and that was it.
He did. He was kind of hobbling with injury a little bit, but
yeah,
he's
back this week, so.
Yeah.
Should be a key...
All right, here we go. I don't know why we're starting with left guard. We should go left tackle, then left guard.
Okay, let's go left tackle.
Left tackle?
Yep.
JP, which is not Jason Pierre.
Jason Peters?
Jason Peters.
See, I have Andrew Whitworth.
Okay.
So we're struggling here. We're struggling.
They're both in the team. No. the dog's woken up.
The dog.
He's outraged that you picked Whitworth over Jason Peters.
I'm outraged that my parents named my dog Muffin.
Sure they did. okay, left guard.
I had Kelechi Osemele. I had it tied with Betonio, but that monster block he did on during the playoff game won it over
for
me. But it is regular season.
Now, Betonio is in my team solely because Colts could have had him. And now that he's made our Wootenweyer team, you're just like, oh, man.
I'll budge on Betonio, but you got to give me Whitworth.
No. I want Jason Peters.
Okay.
Jason Peters is a superior.
I can't argue with Peters, but I just want Whitworth to get some love.
Coming off those ACL, ruptured ACLs that he had.
All right. Jason Peters is on the team. And then we'll have Joel Betonio. I like Betonio. I just realised I put Osemele in because of his block last week, but this is all pro based on the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put Betonio
in. Alright. Center.
Frederick.
We agreed on this.
This is his only accolade to date. Well done, Trav.
Travy
boy.
There was a lot of uproar, especially when he was first drafted in 2013.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was drafted quite early
and everyone
didn't expect it.
Everyone just thought, what?
And that was similar because the Giants took a took a guard as well, and he didn't pan out as good as they hoped. I can't remember. Is it, well, no, it wasn't Snee.
No, it feels like it was Long was the Bears.
I'm just going to
look. We're cheating. Right, we're cheating. Yeah. Filibuster.
Okay, well.
See?
Filibuster.
Filling time.
Do you know who you read the Vodafone? Yeah.
You'll never get it.
Here we go. Draft player selections. Here we go.
I feel like it's a four letter last name.
Alright, where are we?
This is going to be wrong, isn't it?
Where are they? Alright, yeah. Travis Frederick was the 31st overall pick, and the Giants
selected right guard
Justin Pugh. That's who it is.
Four letters.
What did I say? Snee.
I said it was Long letters. Or Pugh.
Long, that's right.
Long was the best.
Pugh went 19, and then Long went 20.
Yeah.
And Long, see, ended up decent. Pugh, not so much. And then now Travis Frederick's really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just looking at this draft order.
Maybe it's actually kind of safe to go center. Like a good center. They're not that. They're hard to come by.
I'm just looking at this draft and there's so many bad picks. Like Chance Womack.
Who was number one that year? Not that good. Wait, didn't they turn out pretty bad?
Eric Fisher, yeah, bust.
Bust. However.
Lane Johnson,
beast.
Ezekiel Ansah played really well. Tavon Austin hasn't been that good.
All right, moving on. Frederick.
Yep. All right.
Who's your right guard?
Marshall Leander.
Leander. Who's mine? Yander.
Yander?
What is it?
Yander?
Yeah,
alright, whatever.
Doesn't matter, he's in the team.
And my right tackle is Lane Johnson.
And mine's Vollmer, but I'll happily...
Nah, let's go with Vollmer.
You don't want...
the Patriots lineman on there, because otherwise...
There'll be uproar.
The imbalance. There's one every year.
Yeah, we'd have an Australian NFL backlash if there's no Patriots in there.
No Patriots!
Are you kidding me? Alright. Are you
kidding me?
Well...
Kidding me.
This is going to be fun, isn't it? This is going to be fun.
I'm just going to keep hitting these bad boys.
Because we don't know what defense we're running, we're going with a
We're going to do 4-3 defensive end and then 4-3 outside linebacker and then we'll do 3-4.
Alright, so I think we've agreed on the 4-3 defensive ends.
I think we have. And I had Cameron Wake and Michael Bennett.
And the linebackers.
And Khalil Mack and Von Miller.
Yes.
I think those four are a lock.
They were incredible this year.
Yep.
Okay, right. 3-4 defensive ends.
J.J. Watt and Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, we had the same. And
3-4 outside linebacker. I had Justin Houston and Terrell Suggs.
All right, you had Terrell Suggs. I had Kerrigan. I find it...
I like Ryan Kerrigan as a player.
Like J.J. Watt, right? I find it really admirable that you can be playing on a team that's playing so bad. Even though the Texans didn't play so bad, but, you know, he was kind of their driving force. Same as Kerrigan.
There's not much else there, but he still managed... Like, you know, teams have circled him as a player to
exactly
try and...
They shut him out. They shut nearly the defense out, and yet it still happens. Same as Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack has been like a god.
All the talk of him being the number one pick is now justified.
I think, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Imagine that outside the other side, JJ. Well, I know Clowney, we won't see, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, defensive tackle.
By the way, we're going with Suggs there.
Oh, we're going with Suggs.
We've taken too many of yours. Let's even it up. Defensive tackle and nose tackle. I'd Ndamukong. Sue. And well, this one's a real tongue twister. Aaron Donald.
Well, by the way. That is just the most standard name.
Aaron Donald. I loved him in the draft. We talked about him in our draft episode. And that's good. We've got two rookies in now.
Why I was kind of going Kerrigan, because Suggs is old.
Yeah.
However, then we went Vollmer over Lane. We could have had a really useful team.
I think it's a good team, though. All right. Inside linebacker, we got two of them. Luke Kuechly.
Beast.
Yep. And I had DeAndre Levy as my linebacker.
Yeah.
Or Levy.
See, I was originally going to go Hightower here.
Okay.
However...
You switched.
I'm going Collins.
Jamie Collins.
I'm just a big fan of Collins, I think. I think it's a little bit of bias.
I really wanted the Colts to draft him in the first round that year, and we took Werner. And Collins only had a second round grade, but I was like, we need to get him. he just did so much when he played for Mississippi State. He was, again, similar to Kerrigan, he was the only sort of player on that team. Yeah, I just think Levy's been hard done by in so many Pro Bowl. He got snubbed from the Pro Bowl again.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know what else he can do, really.
Yeah, it's same with Lavonte David.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, let's have three linebackers.
I think we should kind of
rotate them.
We should really have like four corners, but...
Yeah, that's true. Right. Well, let's name four corners, but I had Chris Harris and Vontae Davis.
Yeah, we both had the same. We
and
you'd about
probably
this.
Add Sherman and Remus.
Yep.
Yep.
You'd
have Chris Harris playing as the slot corner because he can just mirror anyway. Same with Remus.
I'm trying to think of the other corner that I'm thinking of.
Played well. Brent Grimes.
Brent Grimes deserves an honourable mention, especially for his
after starting the season,
Odell Beckham Jr.-esque interception.
Yep.
I'm trying to think
of... That was a good catch.
It was a very good
catch. I know Beckham's was outstanding, but he's smaller. He's not a wide receiver. He was running backwards. It was good. It was gold.
I'll think of this person.
Yeah, he'll come to you. All right. Safeties, I had Earl Thomas and Eric Weddle.
I had Earl Thomas... And Smith from Minnesota.
Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith.
Again, another typical name, Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith. Similar reason to Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Playing on a team like that, but still shining through. Yeah.
Although they have pretty good pieces. Xavier Rhodes is turning into a really good corner.
Exactly. But similar to... similar to Oakland in the fact that, you know, they've got, like, pieces slowly starting to build.
Yeah. And the question there will be, what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson in the offseason?
Another episode.
You know what? Like, I'm sick of... I would not care if Adrian Peterson never plays again.
That's just... What, you're sick of hearing it? Or what?
Oh, I'm just... And the way he's been carrying on...
Since, what if Colt signed him?
I think I would, honestly, until he's left, I think I would change.
Wow.
It's not what what he did was terrible.
Yeah.
And it was bad. But like the way he's been carrying on since that, like he's been hard done by, like he came out and was like, oh, I can't believe Ray Rice got his over Pure, but then I didn't. But like it was totally two different things.
Yeah.
And Ray Rice got suspended twice for the same thing. Mm-hmm. So of course he's gonna get his suspended over.
And Ray Rice shut up.
Yes. He has shut up and from reports he's been going to counselling and doing like community work and stuff, and he hasn't announced it to the world. He's just doing it. Like he's got like he still hasn't been signed by anyone, but what he did, like either one of those players, I'm just for me, Adrian Peterson's carried on like a real a-hole.
What? Okay.
A real a-hole. He needs to just.
That's gonna be that button's one out.
It's great.
All right, kicker.
Justin Tucker.
Justin Tucker?
Yeah.
I'm going with Carpenter because I feel...
How many 50-yard field goals did he kick for Buffalo?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like he was... Out of all the points scored in Buffalo,
let's,
I think he'd
let's put a question mark on that for now, because if Tucker kicks a game-winning field goal against New England this week, he's in. That's the caveat I'm going to put on that.
All right, there we go.
All right. And my punter is Pat McAfee.
Yeah, me too.
I love him.
All right.
What about his golf swings after he punts? I love it.
Who had that first, him or Alfred Morris?
No, he did it. He's just a golf swing. Alfred Morris is a baseball slog. Yep.
It's just he's so small, I can't tell.
By the way, have you ever watched those Lenovo's fantasy football season videos?
Yes.
How funny is Alfred Morris? Yeah,
Alfred Morris is a funny guy.
I really think
all the Lenovo ThinkPads and all those commercials are...
The little season they do, that's good.
Pretty
funny. Yeah, and Luck's in it as well. AJ Green's pretty good in it as well. My kick returner is Devin Hester.
I've gone with Jones.
Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man Jones from Cincy.
By the way, this could have been a weird web story. A report today that he owes $12.7 million to a strip club in damages for an incident that happened in 2007, 2008.
What can you do? $12.7 million.
Not damage. He got damages in court for an incident.
But yeah, but I mean,
he assaulted someone, and like, yeah, he's good. I don't know. I didn't read it. It just popped up on my phone.
Is this like in appeal, or is this in the process, or has this been decided and he's in debt?
It's crazy. Where is it? I can't. Schefter.
Schefter.
Yep.
Adam the man.
Adam the man. Schefter. While we wait for that.
Okay. Well, filibuster.
We're going to need a new filibuster button.
Yeah, what's the button? Pac-Man Jones forced to pay $12.4 million for 2007 strip club incident.
Oh, better start scoring some punt returns.
One night of making it rain at a Vegas strip club will cost Adam Pac-Man Jones more than $12 million. A Nevada Supreme Court upheld a jury decision against Jones for his role in a 2007 melee at Minx. By the way, Minx, two X's. That's a key in a strip club name.
Three X's, isn't it?
No, it's two X's.
No, but three X's would be that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Wait, does that make it
does that make it dirtier?
Yeah, that's overdoing it a little bit. Right, I think two X's, it looks, you know, look at that. It looks pretty good. The incident, which occurred during NBA All-Star Weekend in February 2007, started when dancers began fighting over the tips that Joan tossed into the air and onto the stage. Can you imagine that? It's like a movie and the guy's just tossing money in the air. It's like an underbelly episode.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. I don't... So wait, there were...
Fighting. Anyway, so... Like,
over his tips.
Yeah, he was just probably like just tossing $100 bills in the air. During the brawl, two security officers and one other person were shot. One of the security officers... That's where you have to pay damages from injuries related to shooting. Thomas... Oh, there you go. There is your big million... One of the security officers, Tomin Urbanowski, was paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh, my goodness.
Jones, 31, pleaded no contest to conspiracy to commit disorderly conduct and received 1 year probation for his role. And he was ordered to pay Urbanowski and his wife $11 million in damages and the other security officer $1.3 million. So basically, I don't know how that works over in America, but over here, if you cause injury to someone and you got to take into account costs for the rest of their life, loss of work, income, discomfort, pain, suffering, all that sort of stuff. So there you go, 12 points.
Yeah, well, you know what? He deserves it.
Yeah, that's right. So that's our all-star team. Pac-Man Jones is gone for that incident. He made someone paralyzed. So. Devin Hester, welcome to the team.
I didn't know about that. Completely unaware.
I knew he was involved in a melee, but I didn't know that.
By the way, I scratched him off so hard.
Just riding.
There you go.
All right, so that's our all-pro team. So not a bad team. And I think the fact that we have agreed on sort of defensive and outside linebacker has shown that those players have been so dominant.
Yep. Yeah. Rogers, yes.
Yep.
We have Murray. Brown and Nelson.
Yep.
Yep.
With Sanders and OBJ.
Yep. Happy Gronk. With that. Gronk killing it.
Petonio, Jason Peters, Travis Frederick, Marshall Yanda, and Sebastian Vollmer.
Which is my offensive line.
Yep. Cameron Wake, Michael Bennett, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, if we're playing 4-3. And if we're playing 3-4, J.J. Watt, Sheldon Richardson, Justin Houston, Terrell Suggs. By the way, if we were playing 4-3, you'd still put J.J. Watt probably ahead of Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
And Cameron Wake.
Mm-hmm. You can play anywhere. We should have really done Gronk.
We didn't want to do it.
J.J. Watt for tight end.
J.J. Watt, Ken. That's why we've only named one tight end and we're going to have four wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then for defensive tackle and nose tackle, we've got Sue and Donald. And then we've got Luke Kuechly, DeAndre Levy, and who is your linebacker?
Collins. Jason Collins.
Yep, and then we've got Chris Harris, Vontae Davis, Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman, L. Thomas, Eric Weddle, and Harrison Smith.
It was Sean Smith was the cornerback I was thinking of. Before.
Close fifth. Justin Tucker, if he kicks a winning field goal this week. Pat McAfee and Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. So, well done. So you guys.
Well done. Your Wikipedia pages will be updated accordingly.
And... you're on the team. Now, this episode has gone way too longer than we thought. We were going to hand out Christmas gifts. We're going to handwrite notes, and I was going to play this music in the background. But we're not going to do it.
That's the most quiet...
Yeah, no, it's just in the background. Just while we wrote our Christmas presents out to everyone. So we're going to just give one present before we wrap up the show, and that's... to a couple of guys that have been really good fans for our first year, Robert Shrembury, Tristan, Neil, and Tim have been really good. And
can we make special mention to Yui?
Sam, Yui, I forgot about Yui.
Yui.
I'm just going off the top of my head purely. I want to thank all the guys that were in our fantasy football league this year.
Yeah.
And also, I want to thank the Lord for winning the Podcasters League. Smash the Aussie guys. We beat them in every facet. And I'm not rubbing it in, except that I am. So, we are, you know, they need to...
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Yep.
Ice up.
That's perfect.
Yep. So, good on to that. And Just one last thing before we wrap it up. Look for us on Over the Line Sports. Keep a lookout for a new logo, new intro. Any suggestions?
It's all coming.
Any suggestions for sound drops or quotes you like from movies, TV show? Let us know that you think may be relevant.
Any little quotes or anything that we can use in you know, any way.
Yeah, because my ones are terrible. Just terrible.
Should I just pick a random one right now?
Just hit one.
I am a product of pain and suffering.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's not so bad. I picked a good one.
You picked a little one. I got one from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
What do you know? You're little footballs.
All right, we'll start using better ones.
Yeah, come on. I was limited. I had a week off. I was working sort of in my parents' business for the week, so it wasn't really a holiday, so I had limited time. But it's been a good episode. It's been a good 2014. I'm 1 year on. Do you feel wiser?
Feel wiser.
Yeah.
I feel more equipped at handling a podcast now, I think. We're a little bit nervous to start off with.
We were. We're more comfortable now. There's been a lot of, you know, inappropriate humour at times.
Put
our foot in our mouth.
We just mentioned a Gronk something fest.
A jizz fest.
Well, we've mentioned it again. I said we'd never mention it again.
I think, yeah, oops, we've said it twice now. We've definitely put our foot in our mouths numerous times. Our bold predictions were horrid.
Oh, they'll be good this year. I really think they'll be good for
2000. Terrible.
I really think they were...
But they're bold predictions. They're not supposed to happen. They're supposed to be shocked if something
happens.
I really think
we're just going...
The only one left is yours in the AFC, which is they'll win the Super Bowl if Gronk's healthy.
Is that the only thing...
You had two left. You had the Bengals actually winning a playoff game, which was completely bold.
Sorry.
And that failed us. Hey, by the way, my bold prediction was the Cowboys would be picking first overall. They're two games away from the Super Bowl. So, yeah. That's completely crazy. All right, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at JYNFL.
You can follow me at Josh Woot.
And the show at Woot and Why. We are on Facebook as well. Just search The Woot and Why Show. Please like us on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. And we're on Podbean and Over the Line Sports. And also, tweet us. Send us emails, whatever. If you want something to be discussed, if you have a weird web story, let us know. And Josh is looking for a drop to finish the show on.
I am. I'm trying to find Turn Down for What?
Turn Down for What?
JJ Watt for MVP.
You're going to finish it? You want
JJ Watt for MVP.
I'm going to stick with Aaron Rodgers.
No.
But you know.
Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
And right now it is over.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win. So if New England can just...